Tonight, God's Word comes to us from Psalm 98. Psalm 98. We'll be reading the 9 verses of this psalm. Psalm 98, beginning at verse 1. What we hear now is God's Word. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. For he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, children, this morning I asked you a question as we began the sermon. I asked you, who was the forgotten participant of Christmas? We talked about the various participants of Christmas, the angels and the shepherds and Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus. Now, what if I asked you this question? Which song in the Christmas section of the Psalter hymnal does not explicitly mention any of the participants of Christmas? The Christmas section in the hymnal begins at page 337. And we see songs like, While Shepherds Watch Their Flocks by Night. Oh, that mentions the shepherds, so they're mentioned there. Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Oh, there's the story of the angels. We have, again, angels from the realms of glory, shepherds in the fields abiding, sages leave your contemplations. A lot of the participants mentioned there. O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye to Bethlehem, an explicit reference to where Jesus was born. Silent Night, Holy Night, Round Yon Virgin Mother and Child. That mentions participants of Christmas. We have Break Forth, O Beauteous Heavenly Light, Usher in the Morning. Ye Shepherds, shrink not with fright, but hear the angels' warning. Again, some more participants. The next one, From Heaven Above to Earth I Come to Bring Good News to Every Home, speaks of the Child of Mary, the Chosen Virgin Mild. And the last one in that section, Christians awake, salute the happy morn, whereon the Savior of the world was born, speaks about the watchful shepherd, speaks about the angelic choir. All of those songs explicitly reference something about Christmas. Except the first one in the Christmas section, number 337. The song we're going to sing in just a few minutes, Joy to the World. Probably one of the most well-known of all the Christmas songs, but there's no reference to shepherds, no reference to angels, to Mary, to Joseph, wise men, Simeon, Anna, no reference explicitly to any of the participants of Christmas. Joy to the world, the Lord is come, doesn't even mention him as a baby. Let earth receive her king, let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns, let men their songs employ. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love. Probably one of the most well-known Christmas songs has no explicit reference to the Incarnation. That's because Joy to the World was not written as a Christmas song. Isaac Watts, when he wrote this text, wrote it not so much for Christmas, but wrote it as a paraphrase, a theological paraphrase of Psalm 98. I considered calling tonight's sermon the Christmas Psalm, and my children not so lovingly reminded me, I had pounded into their heads, that 337, Joy to the World, Psalm 98, is not explicitly about Christmas. So I couldn't use that title. Instead, we're going to use the title that we should give this psalm. It is an enthronement psalm. We've been talking about the different types of psalms in the Psalter. And there is a type of psalm called enthronement psalms that highlight the fact that God is a reigning God. And we know, as we studied this Psalter together, that the psalms speak ultimately about Christ, God's anointed. And so this psalm exalts the kingship of Jesus Christ. If you have that original outline I gave you of the Psalms in the Psalter, you'll notice that Psalms 93 through 99, there's kind of a strange little word next to them. That word is the transliteration of the Hebrew words Yahweh Malak. We call these the Yahweh Malak Psalms, which simply means God reigns. And that is found, we call them the Yahweh Malak Psalms, because that's found explicitly in this section of the Psalter. I have these psalms listed on the outline for you, Psalm 47, and then 93, 95, 96, 97, 98, 99. Psalm 93 begins this section, Yahweh Malak, the Lord reigns, He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed, He has put on strength as His belt. Psalm 95, verse 3, for the Lord is the great God, the great King, above 95, the great King above all gods. 96, verse 10, we read that earlier tonight. Let the nations say, Yahweh Malak, the Lord reigns. The earth is established, never be moved. Psalm 97, Yahweh Malak, the Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice, let the many coastlands be glad. We began worship tonight with that. And then 99, the Lord reigns, let the peoples tremble. These are the Lord reigns psalms. The one not in this particular collection, Psalm 47, also with the theme of kingship and enthronement. Clap your hands, all you peoples, shout to God with loud songs of joy. For the Lord, the Most High, is to be feared, a great King over all the earth. He subdued peoples under us and nations under our feet. He chose our heritage for us, the pride of Jacob whom He loves. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of the trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises to our King, sing praises, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with a psalm. These psalms highlight the enthronement, the kingship of God and His anointed. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. Psalm 98, I said, is a companion psalm to Psalm 96. If you read them together side by side, you see the same themes connecting both of them. Psalm 98 has a very simple structure to it. For those of you who remember, it is a hymn of sorts, a particular type of hymn, that with a call to praise and then reasons for praise. Psalm 98 has three very evenly spaced, short stanzas, verses 1 through 3, and verses 4 through 6, and verses 7 through 9. And in these three stanzas, we see movement and direction. It was a little bit difficult to decide what theme to highlight in these three stanzas, because there's different themes that show themselves. In stanza 1, we have a reflection upon what God has done in the past. Stanza 2, what God is doing in the present. And stanza 3, what He will do in the future. So we have that movement, past, present, and future. We also have different groups addressed in these three stanzas. Stanza 1 addresses the people of God. Sing to the Lord a new song, for He has done marvelous things, addressing the people of God to bring praise to Him. Stanza 2, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth, now includes the nations as well. And stanza 3, let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell in it. Let rivers clap their hands, hills sing for joy. We have the universe called to bring praise to its King. So we have past, present, future. We have Israel, nations, all of creation. And we have the particular reason for the praise, the particular function of God's anointed one. In stanza 1, as a Savior, in stanza 2, as a King, and in stanza 3 as a judge. And that's the outline I put on the back of your bulletin tonight. Those works of Christ, those works of God's anointed as He is enthroned, as He reigns, as He rules over all of creation. We look at Psalm 98, an enthronement psalm. The psalm begins with a call to praise. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for He has done marvelous things. Many times in the Psalter, we are called to bring praise to God. We're called to bring praise to God with singing. Singing is a very natural response when we reflect upon what God has done. Opening our mouths, opening our voices in praise to Him. Sing to the Lord a new song. When the psalmist talks about a new psalm, he's not necessarily meaning something that is brand new. Like maybe we got a new present or a new toy or a new shirt yesterday, something brand new. What he's talking about is something that has become new in our lives. Perhaps it is a truth we have known for a long time, but because of the experience God brings us through, suddenly this song, this psalm, this word of God takes on new meaning in our lives. Some of you have experienced that. There are texts that we have known all of our lives, memorized when we were children, and then God brings us through a particular difficult experience, and that word of God comes back to us again, reminding us of who He is, of what He has done, of what He will do. That is bringing to the Lord a new song. New because of our recognition of what He has done and is doing in our lives. Sing to the Lord a new song, for He has done marvelous, majestic, glorious things. The author here uses the word for miraculous things. And when Israel thought about the miraculous things God had done, they would look to the past. It says, His right hand and His holy arm have worked salvation for Him. What was that great and miraculous thing God did in the past for Israel, children? That miraculous thing God did was to bring them salvation out of Egypt. Israel had been in captivity. And when they thought of God's right hand, when they thought of God's holy arm, they would think of what God had done in the lives of their forefathers. How God had bared His holy arm to bring His people out of captivity into the glories of salvation. You have worked salvation for Him. They reflected upon what God had done, rescuing them after 400 years of captivity and bringing them into the land He had promised to them. God's faithfulness in the past as their Savior. The one who would take them out of captivity into the new land. And how often we've seen that beautiful picture as a picture of our own salvation. We praise God as our Savior for what He has done in our past. Taking us out of the captivity, the slavery to sin. And through the work of His anointed Jesus Christ, bringing us to a new place, a place of freedom, a place of peace, a place in which we can serve and worship our God. The psalmist calls us to praise. Sing to the Lord a new song. He has done marvelous things. His right hand, His holy arm have worked salvation for Him. He has made His salvation known. He has revealed His righteousness in the sight of the nations. God has revealed His righteousness. He has set that which was not right to right. He has put things the way that He has intended. He has brought Israel out of captivity into the place of freedom. And He has done this in the sight of the nations. Again, notice the movement. We'll talk about the nations being called to praise God in stanza 2, but in stanza 1, we have God working directly with His people. All the nations can see it. They're aware of it. He doesn't talk about them being included yet at this point, but God is revealing Himself as the righteous one, as the one who puts things to right in the sight of the enemies. God brought Israel out in the sight of Pharaoh and all of his hosts. They had to acknowledge it was God who was doing it. God brings glory to Himself by working in the lives of His people. For He has remembered His steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. He has remembered His steadfast love and faithfulness to Israel. God remembered His covenant. The fact that He called a particular people into a special relationship with Himself. God called them, although they were no better than anyone else, no holier than anyone else, were not more deserving than anyone else. God simply, for His own good pleasure and in His love, called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees and brought him through various ways into the promised land, and God would work out His line of salvation. The people Israel were not more deserving than the nations around them. God simply placed His love upon them. And they are called to bring Him praise. We gather tonight as the people of God to bring Him praise. Not because we are more deserving than others around us. Not because God somehow was indebted to us or owed us salvation. God owed us nothing but condemnation for our sins. And He would have been just to rightly condemn us for our sins. But He remembered. He remembered His steadfast love and His faithfulness to His chosen people. And He brought us to faith by the power of His Spirit. And He allowed us to respond to Him, to the call of the gospel. And He set us in a promised land in which to live and to dwell and to praise Him. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for He has done marvelous things. His right hand, His holy arm have worked salvation for Him. He is that marvelous Savior who has made known His salvation. He has revealed His righteousness. Oh, He has remembered His steadfast love to the house of Israel. We are called to bring praise to God as His people tonight. Praise for His glorious work as our Savior. The psalmist goes on, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Now he does include the nations. They not only have seen the salvation of God, but now are participating in that salvation. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with the trumpets and sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in glorious song. And there is this idea of in this first verse here, verse 4, of spontaneous, we might say unstructured praise to God. Simply breaking forth in song because of what He has done. Breaking forth as we reflect upon His glory, His majesty, His work of salvation, we cannot be quiet. But we break forth in praise. Praise in our daily lives. Praise in our homes. Praise in our work. Praise in our schooling. Praise wherever God has placed us. We simply can't be quiet. But we praise Him for what He has done. We make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth. There is to be this sense of immediacy of just recognizing what God is doing. Perhaps you've experienced that. You go through life and you can see God's hand of providence. You can see what He's doing for you. And you simply can't remain silent. You just break forth in praise. Lord, thank You for that. Thank You for taking care of that problem. Thank You for giving us that blessing. Thank You for whatever it might be. And we are exuberant, breaking forth. That's the call. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Then he goes on. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with the trumpets and the sound of the horn. Now these would be instruments that would be used not simply in what we might say unstructured praise, but in structured praise. These were the instruments for the assembly of God's people. And there's an appropriateness in coming together as the people of God to praise Him. Oh, we can praise Him throughout our lives, in our homes, in our work, at our school, whatever it might be, but there's an appropriateness of gathering together as His people to bring praise to Him in the assembly, the psalmist will say elsewhere. Praise God in the assembly. Gather together and bring to Him a song of praise. That's why we're here tonight. It's not that we couldn't stay home tonight and praise God. We could do that. We could stay home and bring praise to Him. But it's appropriate, it's proper to gather with the assembly. The elders, exercising the love of Christ, have called us together in assembly to bring praise to Him. To join our voices as the people of God. To join our hearts in praise to Him. To break forth together in these songs of praise. And there's a sense of noisy exuberance in the praise that we're to bring. These instruments and the sounds of praise and sing praises to God and break forth and all these things, a joyful noise. There's a sense of noisy exuberance in worship. I'm not sure. We need to come before God and be reverent. But when we sing songs of praise, there should be a noisy exuberance. I was at the grade school chapel this past week, and to hear the kids sing the songs of praise, there is a noisy exuberance. And somehow we kind of lose that, I think, as we get older. But there should be that same excitement as we sing Jehovah reigns above in majesty most bright, unparalleled in omnipotence, and girded round with might. How can we sing that quietly? There should be a noisy exuberance as we gather together to sing praises to God. Oh, now we've talked about the different types of psalms. There are certainly laments, which are not exuberant, but the songs of praise. The songs of praise, there should be an excitement in our voice as the song wells up from within our hearts to bring praise to Him. And why? Why praise in the second stanza? Make a joyful noise before the King. The King, the Lord. And we have seen this companion pair before. Stanza 1, God as Savior. Stanza 2, God as King. And we have to recognize both of these roles God's Anointed One plays. Oh, we love to reflect upon the salvation we enjoy. That we were fallen, we were sinful, we could not save ourselves, and God, in His love and mercy, came and saved us. But that was not the end of His work. Christ not only was our Savior, He is now crowned as our victorious King. And as a King, He rules us. He is the King, the Lord. He is the one who directs what we do. He is the one that directs our lives. And we have to rejoice in that too. That we're not left to ourselves to find our own way and do whatever we want, but we are allowed to live our lives in praise to the King. The King of Kings. The Lord of Lords. We cannot live however we want. We cannot treat our spouses however we want. We cannot treat our children however we want because God is King. He is King in our families. That has to mean something. We don't come and worship however we want, for He is King over His church. That has to mean something. We recognize not only the marvelous Savior God has given to us, but also the victorious King. And as I said in stanza 2, the nations, we now experience that. We are brought in and we are called to recognize Him as our King, as our Lord. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. That is why we praise. He is not only Savior, He is King and Lord as well. And then finally, the psalmist moves on to his last stanza. Now not calling only Israel, not calling only the nations, but now calling all creation to bring praise to God. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands and the hills sing for joy together. All creation called to bring praise to God. We talked, I think it was last Sunday evening, about a creation psalm. How the creation itself is called to bring praises to God. One of the creation psalms, Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day to day pours forth speech. Night to night reveals knowledge. The heavens declare God's glory. They declare God's majesty. We join in that glorious creation. Psalm 96. Verse 11, let the heavens be glad, let the earth rejoice, let the sea roar and all that fills it, let the fields exult and everything in. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy. Creation called to bring praise to God. Hints in these verses of Isaiah chapter 55, the trees of the field will clap their hands before the rejoicing before the anointed one of God. And anticipations even of Romans chapter 8, where we're told of creation groaning expectantly for the coming of the Lord. That there is this expectation even in creation itself for the coming of God's anointed one. When we think of that, we know that as the universe is called to bring praise to God, now there is still more to come. There's a certain praise that we bring now, but it is an anticipation of an eternal praise. There is more praise that the creation will bring. There is more praise we will bring as we look forward to the future, to when God will come once again to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. The psalm takes us looking forward to that final judgment day when God comes to perfectly judge at the end of time. But He is a righteous judge, one who judges with equity. We sometimes look around today and we see the judgments that are made, either official judgments from the bench or other judgments going on, and we say, this doesn't seem fair, it doesn't seem right. We will never say that at the final judgment. It doesn't seem right. Because God will come to judge. His anointed will judge the world with righteousness. He will judge the peoples with equity. And as we think of that final eschatological coming day of judgment, we can look to that with fear. Will we be judged? What about what we have done? Will we survive the judgment? Will we live to bring praises to God? We can look forward with assurance even to that final judgment day. For the one who will judge is our Savior. The one who will judge is our King. Not a stranger, but one who's known us, one who has bought us, and one who rules now over us. We can anticipate. We can anticipate an ongoing life of praise to God, even past the final judgment, because of what He has done in stanza 1, because of what He is doing in stanza 2, and what He will do in stanza 3. Righteously judge His people, not holding our sins against us, but rather seeing the glorious work of Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, our King, and our Judge. Psalm 98 is a beautiful psalm that speaks about God's anointed, the one who deserves all praise. Sing to the Lord a new song, for He has done marvelous things. As we've talked about, the psalms give a voice to our praise. God reigns. He is Savior. He is King. He is Judge. And all of this for the blessing
for the benefit of His people. We have reason, both individually in our homes and also in corporate worship, to join together to sing praises to our God and to make a joyful noise before Him. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, how we praise You for the word You have given to us. The word that reveals something of the work of Your Son, Jesus Christ. And we praise Him for the work He has done. We thank You that You have sent Him to the world to be a Savior for each and every one of Your people. Well, Lord God, tonight we pray that You would continue to work in hearts and lives by the power of Your Spirit to draw the nations to You. We thank You that Jesus Christ reigns as King over the peoples, as our King. If we have been reluctant, O God, to submit our lives to Him, may we bow before Him, not only as Savior, but also as Lord tonight, and willingly submit to His kingship. And as we anticipate even now that final and second coming, may we look forward with anticipation and joy, knowing that the judge will not condemn us, but we will be those who by Your love and grace are welcomed forever to bring songs of praise to You. O Lord, receive our praise tonight. May we truly sing a new song to You, for You have done marvelous things. Hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.